Welcome back to the Sports Ticket, brought to you by Crossroads Bar and Grill in Downs. We're joined now by Danny Welniak, second time on the program. Had her on a couple months ago to talk Chiefs football, and things were a little bit better at that time when we're talking Chiefs football. Danny is the sports director at KCTV there in Kansas City and sideline reporter. You hear her on the Chiefs games right on her sister station, Z96.3 The Lake, on the Chiefs radio network. And Danny, I was hoping we'd have better circumstances when we lined you up to be on here today, but you know what? The sun did come out the next day. I don't know if it did in Kansas City, but it did out here. Life must go on.
Yeah, you know, life must go on, and that's one of the things that Andy Reid talked about in his end-of-the-season press conference was, you know, there's a lot of things that we're going to have to learn from that game, and it's no one thinks that it's acceptable that they lost in the wild card round to the Tennessee Titans, and that's the feeling you get around the locker room. But there is a lot of optimism with what 2018 will bring, and I know it's been talked about a lot around here, is that, you know, during the draft last year, there were a lot of decisions that were made for 2018, not necessarily for the 2017 season, but for that 2018 season. And I know that a lot of people are eager to see the development of Patrick Mahomes, to see where he is at. I mean, you've got young guys that had an opportunity this year that we didn't think at the beginning of last year during training camp they'd get much of a chance. You had Kareem Hunt, who was stellar, and so I think some of these young guys are going to get a lot more chances in 2018, and I think that's something that you could be very positive about.
I've got to ask you this question because I was having this debate with a college friend of mine I hadn't talked to in a while on social media after the game, and I posted on Twitter during the game that if the Chiefs lose this game, I'm almost convinced the Chiefs are cursed or jinxed. And the reason I said that is there have been some unbelievably crazy things that have happened to the Chiefs in the playoffs. You go back to Lynn Elliott missing three field goals, the controversy of starting Gerback again in a 97. You can go back to 2013, you blow the 38-10 lead, but Andrew Luck recovers a running back's fumble and goes in for a touchdown. And of course, last year, you hold a team to no touchdowns, you hold them to field goals, and your first team to lose a playoff game in that situation like that. And then this year, you have an 18-point lead at halftime, first team at home to lose a lead like that at home in the playoffs. And it all started with a fluke play. Marcus Mariota with the deflected pass to himself for a touchdown, and then Butker hits the upright. Do you believe, long story short, I guess, do you believe in jinxes and curses, and do you believe in luck?
You know what? I didn't, and I don't believe in curses, but when you go 25 years,
yeah,
it's going to be 25 years now that they haven't won a home playoff game. And for me, from my perspective, you have this awesome Arrowhead home field advantage, and yet for some reason, they cannot utilize that to their benefit when it comes to the playoffs, when it comes to the postseason. And it's not that it's just an Andy Reid thing. You know, maybe you don't believe in curses if it's something that has just happened during this era. But like you mentioned, this spans multiple Chiefs eras of just series of unfortunate events in the postseason. And when you, I mean, as a Chiefs fan, it's just so gut-wrenching because you're there and you're so close. But like you mentioned, Marcus Mariota, he throws a touchdown pass to himself, and then you think that you've won the game when Derek Johnson picks up the fumble, the strip sack for the touchdown, but Mariota's ruled as forward progress, and that's taken away from you. So, and you mentioned Harrison Butker, who's been so consistent all season, and he misses the one field goal that they pretty much need to win this game. It's unbelievable to me that something like that can happen to a team. When you're up 21-3, even Derek Johnson said something about it in the locker room. He said, you know, I've been playing ball for a long time. When you have a 21-3 lead, you're supposed to win those games.
Yeah.
You're not supposed to give that up. So I was not a believer in curses or jinxes, but after some of the last few games that I've covered and postseason runs that I've covered, it's hard not to believe that there might be some kind of curse over the Chiefs when it comes to the postseason, Wade. And I don't know how you fix that.
I don't either. And the other thing we didn't even bring up, Travis Kelce getting knocked out of the game. That's bad luck. He was very good up to that point. And Jamaal Charles got hurt early, I think the second play against the Colts in 2013. And just weird things happen to this team. And then they set history in weird ways, in a negative way, with the losses. And it really is unexplainable to lose six straight home games at Arrowhead when that's considered a tremendous home field advantage, and you haven't won one since January 1994, back when I was young and in high school. That means it was a long, long time ago. It's mind-boggling that the Chiefs have lost that many games. And the other thing, too, is most of those games, Danny, most of those games, they've been favored. They're supposed to be the team that
right.
It's not like they were an underdog and happened to get a home game because they won the division. And the same thing, it was the same case on Saturday, a Tennessee team that, quite honestly, made a lot of mistakes, and the Chiefs were whipping them. And the next thing you know, things turn on that fluky play, and then they somehow lose.
Yeah, and another thing that we didn't mention was you mentioned that Travis Kelce went out with an injury. That was a huge blow to this offense. But then you also had Chris Jones, yeah, who went out with the torn MCL on the very first play of the second half, and then the Chiefs just couldn't stop the run, and Derrick Henry, you know, had himself a day. So I think that that's also a big part of it, is that you had these two huge players who had been such a big part of both the offense and defense throughout the entire season. They both went down, and there was just no adjustments that these guys could make. And I think a lot of times, you know, when you would have somebody go down who was a big player, last season you'd have Eric Berry who would be able to make up for that. And they didn't have that at all this season. They didn't have that in the postseason where he could be that guy that the defense could lean on. And Derek Johnson, he had a great game. I'm not taking anything away from him either. But Eric Berry is going to be that big piece, I think, when he comes back next season, that can maybe get them over that hump or do something to maybe make this defense better. So we'll see how that all shakes out. I know that the coordinators, there is a shakeup there for sure when you've got Matt Nagy, who has just been announced as the head coach of the Bears, and then Eric Bieniemy, the running backs coach, is getting a chance to be the new offensive coordinator. So there are things happening, there are changes happening, and you just wonder how many more changes are going to happen before next season so that they can get over that hump.
Absolutely. Danny Welniak, KCTV sports director, and also on the Chiefs sideline on the Chiefs radio network. Danny's so talented, she has a face for radio and TV. Us guys,
yeah,
us schmucks out here, we've got faces for radio. Danny's got a face for TV and radio. That's awesome.
I try to be multi-talented. Yeah. You know, it's really, really hard sometimes, but no, it's a blessing and a blast, and I absolutely love both of my responsibilities and my jobs. Getting a chance to run around with the Chiefs is so much fun, and you know what? I tell people that you don't have to win a Super Bowl to be grateful for the grind, and
yeah,
it has been a fun season, that's for sure. And but yes, it is absolutely gut-wrenching when you lose in the fashion that you do in the playoffs like that, and then now, since I'm also with KCTV5, I get to turn my attention to KU basketball, mm-hmm, and March Madness and the Royals starting up spring training in February. So I got my hands full still, but it is, I tell you what, Wade, it's a lot of fun.
Yeah, and you do a wonderful job. And you know, we were talking earlier about the curse or the jinx, and somebody asked me, well, in order to have a curse, it had to originate from somewhere. And they said, where do you attribute a curse to? And I said, it's the Lynn Elliott curse. I mean, seriously, think about it. 95 is when it happened. 94, they won, and
yeah,
then Montana got concussed in the AFC title game. If he doesn't get a concussion that game, get knocked out, they might have made the Super Bowl. And then the next year, that's when it all started, when Lynn Elliott missed three field goals. The Chiefs have won a home game ever since. So I've never seen Lynn Elliott since. I think he's a hermit, lives 16,000 feet under the ground. And I feel for the guy, too, because I remember watching that season, and every Chiefs fan knew he had been struggling. He missed an extra point, I think, against the Raiders, and everybody talked about how Lynn Elliott, he needed to replace the kicker, and Carl Peterson did to address it. And then, with a great defense, he missed three field goals, and ever since then, the Chiefs just simply cannot win a game at Arrowhead. So, I'm sorry, I don't know if you know Lynn Elliott personally, but I'm going to blame Lynn Elliott.
You know what? That's a great point, because I've had that conversation with multiple people as well. Like, where does... You talk about all the great curses in all of the sports,
yeah,
and they all have some origin from someone. And I could not pinpoint where this curse would have started. But the fact that you said that and you pinpointed that right now, you know what? I think that's it. I think that we need to make that known in Chiefs Kingdom that that is the pinpoint of this curse, and someone's got to break it.
You can use that. Just give me just a tad of credit, and you can use it. I'll let you do it. I won't even charge you for that. Okay, so you mentioned the injuries, and here's one thing that I think some Chiefs fans will say, and this is not a knock on what you said, and hopefully it's not a knock on what I was saying either, because it was part of the bad luck. Kelce getting hurt, Chris Jones getting hurt. But the person out there that's maybe not a Chiefs fan listening right now would say, well, guess what? Every team has to deal with injuries. The Titans didn't have DeMarco Murray for the game at all, and he was their best running back, and he was their best third down back as well. Every team's got to deal with injuries. You have to overcome that, plus you're up 21-3. So I guess the question I have for you is, there were injuries that mounted up for the Chiefs, and Rochus not playing, I think, hurt as well, but eventually there's going to be a scapegoat or two, and you know how this industry works, and I think one of the big guys that's getting a lot of criticism right now is defensive coordinator Bob Sutton. When the Chiefs defense can't get off the field on third down, the Titans, not a good offensive team. Mariota threw more picks and touchdowns this year, a second string running back in essence that is running the ball down your throat and outside, inside, 23 carries, 156 yards. He runs the ball 21 of his 23 carries to the left, so there's something they lacked to the left side that the Chiefs didn't adjust to or just simply didn't tackle or fill the gaps. And so you look at all that and you say, well, if the Chiefs would have just got one stop, they probably still would have won the game. The Titans went 7-for-7 on third down in the second half and never punted the ball. So the question to you is, do you think Bob Sutton will be the scapegoat? Or maybe that's just the wrong term. Maybe it is time for him to move on and somebody else comes in there with a different philosophy?
Yeah, that's really one of the biggest questions going into this offseason. And Reed was asked about, you know, if he plans on moving on from some of his coordinators. There wasn't a name specifically thrown out, but you knew exactly who was being referred to when the question was referenced. And Reed said, you know, right now is not the time for that. I don't want to look at that right now. I'll look at that as we move into the offseason. But I do think that you're right. I do think that Bob Sutton is one of those guys that fans are calling for because, first of all, I mean, I mentioned that Eric Berry is a big reason why this defense struggled because he was injured and out. And I think losing him really exposed a lot of things schematically for the Chiefs on the defensive side of the ball. So I think that's kind of tough to deal with and not bring back around to Sutton and what he's doing on defense. I know that, like you mentioned, there were just so many things defensively that went wrong for the Chiefs this year, and really you saw it exposed mostly during that slump and when the Chiefs couldn't stop the run. And then when they could stop the run, then it felt like they were just getting passed all over and the secondary couldn't stop anything. So I think that another thing that you could go back to is that when Andy Reid gave up the play calling to Matt Nagy, Reed felt like he needed to go to the defensive side of the ball and throughout the team and get his hands and put his hands into a little bit of everything. And that's where you saw the defense really improve, was when Reed had a chance to be the guy who could do both, who could, you know, talk to the offense and then go to the defense and give Bob Sutton advice and change some things and get creative with things. So I think that there's truth there that you know, a lot of the things schematically can be traced back to Bob Sutton. I think it'll be really interesting to see if he does stick around during the off season, if Andy Reid keeps him around, or if he's part of this coordinator shuffle that is going on and if they feel like they need to make a bunch of changes. And I know from the fan standpoint, at least from what I've experienced both via email and Twitter, is that there are two things that a lot of fans are calling for, and they really want to see Bob Sutton leave, and they really want to see Patrick Mahomes as the quarterback. So those are two things that I feel like, or at least I've heard, a lot of fans say that they think need to be changed in order for bigger changes to happen next season.
Some of the best coaches in football, and this is just my opinion, is I think are the ones that are willing to put their ego aside and delegate. And you mentioned something very interesting to me there, is that Coach Reed gave the play calling duties to Matt Nagy and wanted to kind of work with or help with the defense. And to me, that concerns me a little bit because Bob Sutton is in charge of the defense. He's hired and paid to handle the defense, which it's okay for Bob Sutton to set his ego aside and say, yeah, Andy, I need some help here. Help me out. But at the same time, it looked like in the playoff game, and correct me if I'm wrong, but certainly watching on television, and you probably saw on the sideline, Andy Reid was very, very involved in the play calling. And it seemed to me that he was calling some of the plays. I don't know exactly when Matt Nagy took over calling the plays, if he called every single play, and that's why the Chiefs improved and gave the ball to Hunt more often, or if they took turns calling plays. I have no idea how it worked. I would guess Andy is in Matt's ear quite a bit, making suggestions from time to time if he's not calling the plays. But it sure seemed like Andy was a little bit more involved, and it makes sense. You're the head coach, and you're a pretty good play caller in your own right, and it's a playoff game. But it seemed like things kind of changed offensively in how they approached things with a 21-3 lead. And some people joked on social media, I'm sure you saw it, that Matt Nagy called the first half and Andy Reid took over play calling in the second half. Is the question I have for you is there maybe too much on Andy Reid's plate, or Andy Reid's trying to take on too much and maybe needs to delegate more?
You know, I just think that's a very good question, because I think that Reid likes to be able to, you know, do everything and to be able to, like I said, get his hands in everything and do a little bit of everything. And his passion is play calling. He's told us that before, and that he loves play calling. But we did see a huge spark from Matt Nagy and his creativity whenever he did take over the play calls. And I know that I give that a lot of credit, and I give Nagy a lot of credit for that. But Reid is still, it's a West Coast offense. They're still, the first 15 are scripted out. He's the biggest part of the install. He's the one who gives Nagy the yay or nay when it comes to some of the calls that he makes. So he's still very, very involved in that process, even when he does have a chance to kind of move around to be more of a manager than necessarily a coach. But a lot of people, like you mentioned on social media, were talking about how, who did call the second half of those plays. And you mentioned that Reid did look much more active on the sideline with his play card and his play calls. And, I mean, both Nagy and Coach Reid have been asked, you know, who did call those plays in the second half? And you've gotten two different answers. I mean, they're going to stick up for each other.
Sure.
So Reid said that, I called the bad ones, he called the good ones. And then when Nagy was asked about it during his introductory press conference in Chicago, he said, nope, I called every single play in the second half. That was my failure as a coach. That was my learning experience as a coach. And so I have to just grow from that and learn how to call plays better. So you're left with, well, then someone might be, you know, fibbing a little bit because you can't have it both ways.
No.
So I think that'll be very interesting to see, especially next year, to see if Eric Bieniemy gets a big chance to call plays, or if Andy Reid's going to be calling those plays again. And then you'll get to see kind of if the offense has progressed and if they have learned from their mistakes in the playoff games.
All right, last question before we get to the off the wall, before we let you go, and this is one of the biggest questions Chiefs fans want to know, so I saved it for the last, and you kind of referred to it a little bit already. The fans want Patrick Mahomes, and I shouldn't say all fans. There are certainly Alex Smith supporters, and I know he was the number one rated quarterback in the National Football League, but I was saying all year long, I like Alex Smith, but I don't care if he throws for 6,000 yards. He's going to be judged on whether or not this team goes deep in the playoffs. Whether that's fair or unfair, it comes with being the quarterback and being one of the highest paid players. You get a lot of credit when you win, and you sometimes get too much blame when you lose. Do you think the Chiefs are going to move on from Alex Smith and go to Patrick Mahomes? Do you think they will, is the first question. And two, do you think they should?
Well, I have to put this out there first, is that I highly respect Alex Smith and what he's done, and I think that he is a great quarterback. I have no doubt about that. And what he did this year, he had a career year, and so for him to be under fire the way that he is, I think is really unfair because of what he did and the way he did it and where he led this team during the regular season. But like you said, whether fair or unfair, quarterbacks in the National Football League are judged by what they do in the postseason. And it is so very important, especially when you have a first-round draft pick sitting behind you, that you win in the postseason. And I think a lot of people came into this regular season knowing that if Alex didn't perform in the postseason, or if they didn't get to an AFC championship game or to a Super Bowl, that Patrick Mahomes would be waiting in the wings and that they would need to move on from Alex. And so I personally think that it's going to be very, very interesting offseason. I think that the writing is on the wall, and I think that Patrick Mahomes will take over next year because that's just kind of how everything has been set up or would lead me to believe at this point. But, I mean, I've been surprised before, so nothing is set in stone yet, obviously. But from my perspective, I think that it's probably time to move on to your first-round draft pick. He looked really good in Denver. He looked raw, but he still looked like he had progressed incredibly well, and he looks like the quarterback of the future for the Chiefs. And I think that that's the direction that they're probably going to head in 2018.
Yeah, and then take that cap money you save with Smith, and maybe you trade him and get some picks. That would help you as well, and then you've got more money to spend and fix some issues, maybe especially on the defensive side. And there's certainly other decisions. Tom Bali, I would think, will be gone. Derek Johnson, they can't bring him back at the same price tag. Alan Bailey maybe might not. He'd be a cap casualty. Demetrius Harris. There's a few others. That, you know, Justin Houston's an interesting situation, too, if Bob Sutton does or does not come back, because some people feel like Houston's been misused in Bob Sutton's system, a different defensive coordinator. You keep Houston. If Sutton comes back, then, you know, maybe you walk away from Houston and get some cap relief. It's going to be a very, very interesting offseason for the Chiefs, and it probably will set the tone for what they're going to do the next, I think, 3, 4, 5 years down the road. But I don't you think that Chiefs fans will be extremely upset if the Chiefs stay with the status quo, if they bring back Bob Sutton as DC and Alex Smith is back as a starting quarterback next year? I don't know if the Chiefs fan base is going to be very receptive to that.
Well, I know I keep referencing social media, but that is one of the things that some season ticket holders were telling me on Twitter, that, you know, if things don't change, there you've got to be able to change things in order to get a different outcome. And, you know, it's the definition of insanity. Yeah. You know, just doing the same thing over and over again, expecting a different result. So you've got to make some big changes, and I think that Bob Sutton's one of the biggest changes that you can make from a fan's perspective, and so is obviously the quarterback position. So that those are two things that the fans want to see. They need change, and those are two of the biggest things from a public perspective and even from a media perspective, that if you're going to change things, those are the two positions, and those are the way to do it. So I would agree with you in the fact that I think there are probably going to be some changes there happening in the offseason.
Yeah, I think you're right. Okay, time for the off-the-wall question. Are you ready?
Yeah, let's do it.
I want to spin this into a positive here. I know it's a bummer the Chiefs lost and had an 18-point lead, but you know what? There's always next year. I know Chiefs fans go, God, we always say that. So here's the off-the-wall question for you, Danny, because you played professional football yourself and you played sports for many years. What was the best comeback win you were a part of? You were on the winning side of a rally.
That's a really good question. Oh, now you've put me on the spot.
You were so good. You guys were always in the lead. You never trailed, right?
We most of our games were very much like that.
Were they? Sweet.
Yeah, we were a pretty good team. But I would have to say probably the best come from behind. And we weren't down by a whole lot. We were only down by, I think, a touchdown and a field goal. But we came back in the Super Bowl in 2008 against Chicago, and we ended up winning the game in sudden death overtime against Chicago, and it was probably the most memorable game of my career simply for that fact, because it was such a grinded-out, tough battle, and there were a couple that we didn't win in the postseason that were come from behind. And we rallied, but we just came up short. There was one game against Sacramento that we fell by 2 points, and we just couldn't get a two-point conversion, and we lost in the final second. So that was not a good comeback, but I would say that the Super Bowl comeback victory was probably the best. And those are the ones that you want to be on. You want to be on the winning side of those, because when you're on the losing side of those, it's one of the worst feelings in the world.
Well, maybe someday us Chiefs fans will be on that side of the equation, especially after a home game. That would be nice. Danny Wolniak, our guest today on the Sports Ticket, and tell people how they can watch you or follow you on social media, if you want people to follow you on social media. Throw all the stuff out there so people know where you're at.
Oh, absolutely. I am on Twitter at KCTV5Danny. I try to do my best to keep everybody updated on Chiefs news, as well as, you know, KU, K-State, Mizzou, you name it. I probably cover it. And then you can also find me on Facebook, Danny Welniak, W-E-L-N-I-A-K. I'm on KCTV5 at 4, 5, 6, 9, and 10 o'clock during the weekdays, and then I am on the radio as often as possible. So, Wade, hopefully I get a chance to do this again with you very soon, and I cannot wait to be back on the Chiefs Radio Network come next season.
We look forward to it. Thanks for the time, as always. Have a great offseason. We'll talk to you for the Chiefs season next year.
Sounds good. Wade, thank you so much.
Take
Go
care.
Chiefs.
Yeah, absolutely. Danny Welniak, our guest today on the Sports Ticket.